this recording started. There we go.
For a moment this evening, I want you to imagine, I want you to take your mind to a time when you had to go get your oil changed. You take your car into the service station. Upon taking in, you wait patiently as the technicians work diligently to check all the fluids, check all the pressures, replace the oil. And once completed, you pay them for your services, you take your keys, and you go on your way. Just blocks from the service station, you hear a loud sound coming from your engine, coming on very quickly, a loud screeching sound, and before you can pull over, suddenly the engine seizes up. Your tires lock up, and you barely miss another car as you're pulling off to the side. Now you're stuck in the middle of the road. As your heart rate slowly declines and you peel your fingers off the steering wheel, you get out, you call a tow truck, and they come and tow your car, and they take you back to the same service station. You pay the tow truck driver, they're on their way, and you go and talk to the service technician. You approach the technician and tell them what happened, explain the situation. They take a look at their notes on their computer, and then they go out and look at your car to confirm what they were thinking was the case. They come back and return with a diagnosis. Oh yeah, your car is in bad shape. Do you want us to fix it? You look at them and you ask, well, I was just here. I just had the oil change. What's wrong with it? To which they reply, oh, absolutely. I remember your car. Yeah, you probably shouldn't have driven out of here without an oil plug. And all the oil came right out of the engine and it seized up. Completely flabbergasted, kind of in shock, you exclaim, well, what do you mean there's no oil plug in my car? I just got the oil change. Wasn't there one before? And the service technician looks at you as though you're not understanding what they're saying and says, yes, there was an oil plug in it. It's still here. Now you feel a sense that something wrong has happened. Okay? You look at them and say, well, wasn't the oil plug replaced when my oil was changed? And the technician looks at you with a little bit of disdain and like you're causing inconvenience and says, look, both Jerry and Lisa were working on your cars. They are trained mechanics. They know their stuff about cars. They did standard procedure to change your oil, and they went through the process, but Jerry was kind of undecided if it should be his job to put the oil plug back in, and Lisa didn't think it was necessary. Neither of them felt like replacing the oil plug, and no one around here is going to tell them to do something they don't feel like they should do. You really shouldn't have left it and left out of here without it if you thought you wanted to have your oil plug replaced. Now, exceptionally and understandably very angry, you look at the technician and you say, wait, you mean to tell me that you knew the oil plug wasn't replaced? You knew both technicians, both mechanics that are working on the car didn't replace it. You knew that you couldn't put any more oil in, and you're blaming me for driving out of here without replacing it. Now you're asking me if I want you to fix my car. Technician looks at you as though you're being unreasonable now and says in a very dismissive way, I think you're going to need to take your car and leave. I already explained our mechanics are very good. They did everything they were supposed to do. They just didn't feel like putting the oil plug back in, and nobody's going to tell them to do something they didn't feel like doing. If you had wanted it, you should have checked for it being put back in. If you wanted oil in your car, you should have checked to see if oil was in your car before you left the service station. Now please leave. Okay, this is a rather outlandish scenario I've set up, right? This is a little bit out there. But I want you to think for a moment and ask yourself, if something like this were to happen to you, what would you think of the standards of care at that service station, the standard of care that you received? Would you consider that an appropriate standard of care for your car? Would you say that your needs were met in that situation, that the objective was achieved? Would you say that there was any standards at all? I want to take this opportunity to speak this evening very briefly and for a few moments, and I want to thank you to give me this opportunity that we're going to talk a little bit about standards, raising the standard. We're going to look at what a standard is briefly. We're going to think about how we feel about standards and what that means and what that does with them. And then we're going to look at what standards we use in our lives today. Surely I ask you that if I say or speak anything up here that is out of line and not in accordance with God's word, that you pull me aside afterward and let me know. I certainly want to be speaking where the Bible speaks and being silent where the Bible is silent. So let's ask the question. First, what is the standard? We need to understand what we're talking about when we talk about standards. The word standard, as we see it in the King James Version of the Bible, appears 38 times in two primary forms. The Strong's Concordance, right? This is a lexicon. It's exhaustive of all the words that are used in the Bible in the Old Hebrew and Greek. Uses and notes it as H1713, H1714, and H5127. It is pronounced Degal and Nous in its two primary forms, and it's used to refer to a banner or something, a signifying pole, a sign, something that would be raised up. In a military sense, it's an ensign. How we might think of it is, which an ensign is like a small banner or flag for a unit, we might think about it like a flag, all right? A standard is like a flag. Really, it's a symbol. It's something that when you look upon it, you know the principles and qualities that someone who raised it is conveying by that symbol. When we think of a standard in a more commonly used way, we think of something that is leveled or used to measure something by. In the construction world, that's a yardstick, a ruler, a tape measure. These are versions of standards. In the academic world, this is a graded assignment. This is something that measures our level of knowledge, right? Judicial world, this is a law or a precept or a previous law, something to be measured against. Rules are standards, laws are standards. Checklists are standards, flags are standards, measurements are standards. Just about every facet of our life, we run into some form of standard around us. When we say the word, we collectively all know what it means, but as we define it, we see how deeply standards impact our life each and every day. The meaning of the word that we read of in the Bible, the banner or the flag that is being standard, we don't use that form of the word standard that often in our daily life. However, if we understand that it's a banner, that it's something to be raised to convey a set of principles, we can see how that expectation ties to how we normally use the word standard today. A standard, if we think of it, is a measurement. It's a measurement that serves a purpose or a function. It protects something. It projects an idea. So what does it matter how we feel about standards? Let's go back for a moment to those two technicians that worked on your car. The technician you spoke to in the shop said that they did everything they were supposed to do, they just didn't feel like upholding a certain standard. There was a step in the process, replacing the oil plug, they didn't feel like was necessary, or they didn't feel like it was their job. What does that say about a standard of care? What would you learn about the standards of that company or that you took your car to? How they conduct their business. You would say that their standards are lower. They have no standards at all. They didn't finish the job. What's more, your car suffered. You suffered as a result of those standards not being met. Now, you would look at this shop, and you would know the standards that they uphold, what they raise, the standard they raise. One mechanic didn't think it was their job, didn't feel it was their responsibility. The other one didn't think it was necessary. Both mechanics felt that the job, what they felt about it, caused it to go incomplete, leading directly to a standard being dropped. So let's consider that, how we feel about standards. Let me set up a couple more scenarios to help drive this point. If I were in the Navy, and I performed the job well enough to be considered in the top 1% that get to serve on submarines, I'd be a submariner, I'd have done a pretty good job maintaining standards. The military in every aspect is an entity that has standards and upholds many different standards. Now, as a young submariner on the job, I have to watch and report the pressures of the submarine on the gauges and the display panels. I have to report it to the captain. I have to tell the captain if the pressures are getting too high for the depth the submarine is going down. This is my job, my responsibility. The submarine was designed to withstand a certain amount of pressure as it dived into the depths of the ocean. And all that responsibility of reporting what I saw fell on my shoulders. Now, what if I felt like the submarine could go as deep as I wanted it, or as any submarine could go? There was no design limitation. And I said, we can go wherever we like in this submarine. The pressures don't matter. Does that change how I feel about it? Does that change the actual design limitations of this submarine? Well, of course not. Of course not. And if I failed to do my duty in reporting those pressures and those depths to the captain accurately, if I failed, as it were, to uphold a standard because I didn't feel like it was important, or I felt like it could be any standard at all, what would happen to everyone on that ship? Well, I wouldn't stay in that job for very long, I can tell you, and I'd probably be put in the brig or thrown off the ship quite quickly. Let's consider another example. Say I was a farmer, and I kept and planted a very large field. Okay, and I went to go and buy seed for that season. And I looked at the quality of the seed, and on one package, I noticed that there was different qualities amongst the seeds. And one of them, it said that the purity level was at the highest level. If I planted this seed, I was guaranteed to get a good harvest with minimal amount of weeds. Then I looked at the other seed. And the other seed, maybe next to its quality rating, it just had a bunch of question marks, right? And maybe it was taglined with something like, people who have used this have nice things to say about it, and you're guaranteed that something will grow. The first seed, I noticed, cost a little bit more, but the second seed is a lot cheaper. If I thought to myself and I said, well, if I use the first seed, I'm going to have to work a little harder to make up that cost. But if I use the other seed, I wouldn't have to work as hard to make up the cost at the end of the season. I might make more profit. If I felt like using any seed was just as good as any other seed, and I planted those seeds, what would happen? It would be a disaster. If I chose the second seed and I went and planted that and just spread it all over, I would have weeds everywhere, the harvest would be terrible, and I probably wouldn't be a farmer for very long. So you see, in these two mechanics from earlier, this submariner and this farmer, we know intuitively that how we feel about a standard doesn't change the standard itself. If there's something that needs to get done, a standard that needs to be upheld, it doesn't matter how I feel about it. It doesn't matter if I feel like it's my responsibility or not. It doesn't matter if I feel like it's necessary or not. It doesn't matter if I feel like the standard isn't important. And it doesn't matter if I feel like any standard is as good as any other standard. A standard is a measure. Remember, a measure. Something that says that this, in order for this thing to be done, it must be done in this way. It is a banner to be upheld. And so anyone looking upon it would know what it is, what it stands for, what you can expect from it, what that standard projects and protects. No matter what I feel, that doesn't change what the standard's function is and what it is trying to do. So, we know what a standard is, and we've seen what we feel about a standard and how it measures to the standard itself. It doesn't change the standard, how I feel about it. So we see that they're very important. They affect every aspect of our life. If I'm going through the world and I'm wondering what I should do with my life, I'm going to be affected by standards and the standards that I choose. So if I have to ask the question, what standard am I using to live my life? What standard am I being measured against? First, to answer that, I have to ask another question. What do I want to achieve with my life? Because remember, a standard is a measure that protects or projects a certain function or an outcome. Something. You want something done, it has to be done this way. Standards project that purpose, to achieve something, to stand for something. They mean that they either protect or project this function. If I'm looking for a standard, and I want to know what will happen with my life, I have to ask, what do I want to happen at the end of my life? What do I want my life to look like? Do I want it to be a good life? Do I want to go to heaven? If we're thinking about spiritual things, then I have to look at the standard that I'm using. If I was a farmer and I wanted a good harvest, I would need a pure standard. I would need seed that was pure. If I was a submariner, I would need an unchanging standard. If I wanted to keep something running like a mechanic, I would need a sensible, reasonable, or repeatable standard. Likewise, when I look at my life, if I want to be a good person, if I want to get to heaven one day, if I want to live the best life, you hear people say that very often, live your best life. If I want to live the best life, then I need to look at a standard that is pure, unchanging, sensible, and repeatable. Let's say I was not a Christian, and I was looking throughout the world, and I was looking at different things, and I say, I want to live a good life. I want to get to heaven one day. What can I find in the world outside of Christianity? There's basically three other places I could look. The world of science, the world of law, or the world of man's teaching or philosophy. Let's think about science for a moment. And again, there's nothing wrong with science, but if we're considering something by which I want to live my life by, a standard by which I want to live my life and measure it against, something I want to uphold to have a good life or something that will lead me to heaven one day, let's consider science in that regard, because there are people that live and die by what science says. Science routinely changes. It's on different topics, different subjects. Its standards change. There's a principle called the half-life of knowledge. The half-life of knowledge says that the entire body of written knowledge on a certain topic, there's an amount of time when half of that knowledge will be disproven. In the fields of biology, that time is about 10 years. So every 10 years, half of all the knowledge that we know about biology in the world of science is disproven. In geology, it's a little bit longer, around 30 years. But then if you look at psychology, psychology is even shorter. Some say it as short as 5 years. Every 5 years, half of the body of what everyone says is true in science in the realm of psychology is disproven by something else that comes along. Meaning that everything changes in the world of science. So if you want a standard, you're looking for something that doesn't change, science is not going to be the one for you. What about law? Man's laws. If I'm looking into man's laws, as many do in our culture, and to try to determine a standard by which I can live by, to make a good life, to get me to heaven. Could it be something that's pure? Maybe. Law is pure in the fact that it is equally and impartial. Sometimes when it's executed correctly, it might even be sensible on occasion. But the laws of men very rarely last more than just a few years. Especially in our culture, every couple years, laws will change depending upon the party that's in power. So laws will go around and around there and changing again. What is acceptable one moment is not acceptable, then acceptable again. Lastly, when we think about what about the teachings or the philosophies of men? Can I find something pure and unchanging, sensible and repeatable there? So often the teachings and philosophies of men are based upon one simple thing that we need to understand. One simple principle. How does someone feel about something? That's what most of the philosophies of men are based upon. How does someone feel about a topic? There was a study done about the value of life. The value of human life was presented in front of participants in this study in this way. They were asked that if there was a pool and two different things were drowning in it, one of them was your own pet. For this example, we'll say a dog. Your dog that you have a close connection to, this dog is drowning. And the other was a human life, but it was a stranger, someone you had never met before. What would you do? You could only save one. What would you do? The respondents said that one-third of the respondents to this said that they would save the stranger, they would save the human life from the water. One-third said they would save their own animal, their own pet, this dog that is drowning. Then sadly, one-third said they didn't know. One-third said they didn't know. So when we look at those numbers, two-thirds of them said they wouldn't save the human that was drowning. Remember, that's one that said they would save the animal and one that said they didn't know what they would do. Only one-third said they would save this human life. When asked to give the reasonings, the respondents said it's because they felt closer to the animal than they did to that human being, to another human life. Remember, the philosophies of men are built upon one simple principle, how we feel about something. Men's creeds, their false religions, they are involved in their own thought. And if it's not found in God's word, then it's found in the heart of men based upon what they feel. So now, as a Christian, I can tell you that the standards of the world stand in stark contrast to the standards of the word. Okay? The word never changes. It's pure, upright, sensible, reasonable, and repeatable. If I look at the standards by which I want to live my life, if I want to have a life that is the best life I can have in this physical life, and I want to get to heaven for eternity, there is only one place to look, and that's God's word. There is nowhere else in God's creation where we can find this principle. It is God's standard alone that will get me to heaven. In this lesson, I want you to remember just a few verses that we can go to. Few verses that we can go to when we think about a standard by which we want to live our life. So if we're thinking about how will I want my life to be, what standard should I be using? There's a few verses we can use, and then after this, the lesson will be yours. If I'm going to build my life as a good life, one that will lead me to heaven one day, I need to build it on a firm foundation, on a rock, on something solid that is unchanging and pure. Jesus has said that his word in the hearing of it and the doing of it is that solid rock. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 24 and 25, it's Matthew chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, it reads, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house upon a rock, and the rains descended and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on a rock." The word of God is a rock. It is a standard, it is firm, it is real. When we take the words out of these pages, put them into the furrows of our mind, they grow forth, and they are real and tangible. They are a rock upon which we can build our life. The word of God is that rock that stands firm. His word is sensible. It is reasonable. It does bring about the best life you can have in this temporary life. The trials and troubles of this world will beat up against the word that is implanted in our mind, but the life that we build will not see ruin. Next, I need to build my life upon a standard that is above how I think or how I feel about something. Something that is higher. It is higher than the way in which I conduct my own life. It needs to be something that is a higher principle, something pure and unchanging again. Something that is sensible and reasonable. The word of God is that higher and better way. Proverbs chapter 14 in verse 12. Proverbs 14 in verse 12 reads, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but in its end is the way of death." The ever-changing thoughts and feelings of men and how they think about things, that leads to death. We can see that in the ever-changing laws around us in our culture and our society. There is nothing that I can think of within myself that is not from the Word of God that will be a standard that will get me to heaven. We need to understand that principle. How the changing laws fit into men's lives today, that will lead unto death. Isaiah 55, verses 8 and 9. Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9 reads, "For my thoughts," talking God speaking here, "my thoughts are not your thoughts. Neither are your ways my ways, declares the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts." I have to understand, again, there is no standard I can create within myself without going to God's word that will get me to heaven. None. No philosophy of man. The very best that mankind can do aside from God is lower than the very least of what God is. For the standards that will save my soul, I need to look to something that is higher, something that is firm, reasonable, a rock that is a higher thing than I can think and feel. Lastly, when thinking of a standard upon which I want to base my life to bring about a good life that will lead me to heaven, I need that standard that is unchanging. A standard that is unchanging. God's word is that unchanging standard. We know from scriptures that Jesus is the word. John 1 verses 1 through 2 says, "In the beginning was the word." This is Jesus. "And the word was with God. The word was God. He was in the beginning with God." The word is unchanging. Jesus is unchanging. The things upon which he said, the things that he laid out for us to live by, those are unchanging. They will never change. In the same way today, or they are the same today as they were from the beginning of time, and they will be until the end of our time. They will endure forever. Hebrews 18, verses 8 and 9, 9a reads, "Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Do not be carried about with various strange doctrines." The word of God will always be. No matter what efforts man make to change it or to get rid of it, it is eternal. Jesus is eternal. The word of God is eternal. It does not change. So we need to have a standard. If I want to live a good life, if I want it to be the best life I can live, if I want to go to heaven one day, it needs to be a standard That is a rock. It is sensible. It makes sense. When I apply it to my life, it's useful. It's a foundation. It needs to be something that is higher than what I can think or feel. Ways that are higher than my ways. That I look to be perfected by one day. And it needs to be something that is unchanging. An unchanging standard. So to conclude this lesson, we need to understand that there are things that protect and project certain functions or purposes in life. Those things are standards. Remember, the idea of raising a standard, a banner, something to look upon to understand and to know what is being upheld. Those standards which which lead us through this life and lead to certain results don't change based upon how we feel about them. If I think they're unnecessary or changeable or limitless or everyone is as good as any other one, that doesn't change what the standards are. And if I'm looking for standards that want to produce a good life and one that will ultimately lead me to heaven one day, there is only one standard, and that is the Word of God. Friends, how are you living your life today? Are you comparing your actions and your standards to how you feel about what is right? We can look out in the world and we see that all the time. Especially right now, everyone is turning to the things in which they think are right in their own mind. They're not using a standard. Do we consult God's word on everything in our life to see what is right? Do you have something in your life that you need to make right now? The word of God plainly states that baptism is necessary for salvation. You've heard that truth. That word is right here, and that water is right there. You can be baptized this very minute for the forgiveness of your sins, to have your sins washed away. And if you remain faithful, a home of heaven awaits for you one day. Or maybe you notice something in your life that doesn't meet up to the right standard, doesn't meet up to God's standards, and you need to make that thing right. Friends, whatever your need is, please come forward right now and let that need be known to your brothers and sisters as we stand and we sing. We have